to provide as much regulation as is really possible under the existing case law. As you'll recall from previous discussions, we are in the Ninth Circuit, and several cities in Washington have been up to the Ninth Circuit and back with similar legislation, so we try and limit our forays into this field to regulations that have been up and upheld in the Ninth Circuit rather than creating additional restrictions that have not yet been tested in place.
The thing I was worried about is I know we hadn't looked at this for quite a while, and I didn't know how it was outdated or not. So I wanted to make sure that we do whatever we can to protect our community from that kind of business. So make it as difficult as possible. That, I mean, we can't keep them out, but we're still restricted as much as we possibly can. So
the other thing you'll see in the proposed ordinance is several additional paragraphs at the beginning. And that language is necessary to establish the legislative record. You are entitled to borrow that statistical data from other jurisdictions, so you don't have to repeat those studies. But what you're regulating, in effect, are the secondary impacts of these uses in your community. So we are allowed by law to incorporate and borrow those studies and those experiences from the other jurisdictions. And so that's why you've got those detailed recitals, if you will, of the legislative intent.
Yeah. That was kind of the question I was going to ask. How does that compare with other cities as far as what ordinances they've got, say, Moses Lake or whatever? Is it comparable?
For the jurisdictions that have chosen to adopt adult entertainment restrictions, this is pretty much the standard in terms of the limits. There are a few jurisdictions that have adopted 1,000-foot buffers from sensitive uses as opposed to 500 feet. And that's something that you could certainly consider. The majority have chosen the lesser buffer of 500 feet, thinking that that would be easier to justify should there be a challenge, based on the secondary impacts that have actually been established.
Yeah, and reading through that, it looked like it was pretty well covered, you know, of different areas where you could put it and could not put it, and as parks, schools, and such as that, so it looks like it was pretty well covered through there.
Yeah, the real issue for any jurisdiction when they adopt a regulation like this is that once the use comes and applies and gets licensed, the enforcement side is pretty arduous for the city. If you look at the requirements that are in there and what we're monitoring, if you will, we do need to have staff involved in every phase of the activity and the facility itself.
Any other questions? Well, we have three forms of motions here, so I don't know. You guys like to do a motion, or would you like to just not do anything until we bring it up on the 14th again, or I'm not sure. I guess we need a motion of some kind, but so I guess I'm waiting to see what council would like to do as far as a form of a motion.
Does the attorney have any more to add to what's already in that ordinance, or are you pretty well satisfied with what we've got?
Based on what we are permitted to regulate, I am comfortable with how broad your ordinance is.
It's pretty long. So, you know, I would suggest we move it to October 14th, just so everybody has a chance to read it and stuff. You know, part of the reason of getting this going is to get it done before something moves into town. That was the idea behind it, so, or tries to.
I move we bring back this ordinance for adoption at the regular council meeting of October 14th, 2014.
I'll second it.
Okay, Gina first, and Kayla seconded, and further discussion? Okay, and all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes. We'll bring it back on the 14th. And thank you, everybody. Next on the agenda is excess concession items donated to Othello Food Bank. Molly?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Following the pool, the Othello Community Pool's closure on August 17th, we have been working with we were left with some excess concession items. You may remember last year we brought these items to Council to ask to donate them to the Othello Food Bank because we had a very limited amount of excess concessions or concession items. Normally these items are or consist of either open packages or an amount, if a box has things that are individually packaged, it doesn't total the original amount, so we can't get the money back for it. And so the food that we were left over with is money that we can't recoup from our vendors for the concession items. And also, we've been working with the school district because they do sell a lot of our candies that we had at the pool, and those have quite a bit longer expiration dates. So we've been working with them for them to buy them from us, which will be brought to council at another date when we have a more extensive list from them. But what we are looking to do is to take the items that have a shorter lifespan and ones that the school will not be able to resell. And if we're asking council if we can surplus these items and then donate them to the Othello Food Bank so they don't go to waste. So we can use those extra food items to benefit the community in at least a little bit of a way that we're able to with those. So we are the items available for donation. You'll see an Excel spreadsheet that's attached to the list. It consists of various items. A lot of them are freezer items. So like I said, they do have a much shorter shelf life, so we do have to do something. We have a little bit of a expedited time frame we're working with. So those are normally hot dogs, German dogs, corn dogs. And then our sodas here, those aren't available for resale by the school district because they are a Coca-Cola company or Coca-Cola organization. So they're not able to resell those. And so we are just asking council that we can surplus the list of items that you see here, which total about $275, and then donate those to the Othello Food Bank.
Any questions? What we need to do is have two forms of motion. So I'm looking for somebody to make a motion to surplus the excess items from the pool concession stand.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, Gina first. Who was the second? I didn't catch it. Ken Taylor, any further questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, the same. Okay, then that passes. Do I hear a motion to approve the donation of the surplus Othello Community Pool concession items to the Othello Food Bank?
I'll make that motion.
And Johnson first, and second. Any further questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. And that passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. Okay, next on the agenda is the investment report. Spencer?
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I've prepared for you the regular monthly investment reports. There's three different pages here. There's the first one is the agenda memo that shows the two different investment portfolios that we have and then the money that we hold in our local bank account or checking account across the street, U.S. Bank. This is the second document. It shows the change in value of the investments. And then the third document shows how the investments and cash break up among the different funds. And so some interesting things there. With this, the portfolio that I brought up right here, this is the Bank of America portfolio. This is the one that we're going to be changing. We're right now, these funds are being managed by this other party, and we pay them to manage that portfolio for us as a cost saving. We're going to get rid of that third party manager of those funds and invest those ourselves. We've already established the laddering technique the way we want to invest our maturities with maturity dates that allow the funds to be accessible when we need them. So we've already established a ladder that works for the city's needs, and right now I'm just finalizing a couple of things with the type of account that we want to have open, a safekeeping account, a brokerage account. There are just small nuances there that I just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the city. But anyway, so this is the account, the Bank of America investment account, that you'll see change here in the near future. Are there any questions?
No, I just want to saying thanks, Spencer, for watching that. And bringing that to our attention on how much we were actually paying Bank of America investments, and they were actually taking way over half of what we were making. And it'd be nice to keep that back in our account, and it's nothing hard to do. So I really appreciate you looking out dollar-wise for the city that way.
Yeah, thank you.
That started out to be a pretty good investment, but it kind of went the other direction.
It did. At one point when the investments, when the rates were just right, then it made sense to do that. But as the rates have changed, it makes sense that we change things a little bit, maximize the benefit for the city.
Everything?
That's it.
Did everybody look at the other, any questions on the other two that are sitting here? Everybody's comfortable with what they see there? Comfortable? Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, 4.5, report from Terry Clemens, Public Works Superintendent, reference storm damage and report on the city pool.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Sunday the 15th was kind of the big storm of the year here. Around 8 o'clock, we got some calls. We had power outage. I want to say that the generator back here ran. PD was able to operate. Some other people were out of power, but we had a lot of power lines down. A lot of rain, a lot of water, some areas that were taking on quite a bit of water. We were able to sustain probably 74 feet in the towers. We had three wells running out of all that we had due to power outage. We were kind of surprised that we were able to maintain that. It was kind of a rush deal, hoping that we weren't losing any. We had a lot of trees go down in the parks. We, you'd have thought we were lumberjacks this last week, but we had probably somewhere in the neighborhood, and Kiwanis was our biggest park, and we lost some trees here. So I got a slideshow here. This is Pioneer Park. This is one of the trees, took out a couple panels on the sidewalk here, tipped over, uprooted from the wind. Another limb in Pioneer Park here. Is this working? Yeah, I guess so. This here is in Kiwanis. This is over by 7th in the corner. They lost a pole right next to this, over in this corner here. Big pine tree blew down here, took a few limbs out of the tree. Next to it, this is the north side of Kiwanis Park, the parking lot here. There's a couple pine trees blowed down in this area. They were laying over here next to the fence. We cut them back. Neighbors and the residents there helped us throw these things across the fence back into the park. Some more trees inside Kiwanis here. This one stands right out in the open, so it kind of got it as well. A couple more pine trees up in the north side of Kiwanis. And again, here's some more damage in this park. This park took it pretty heavy. You can see the north side here, we had a lot of power lines down. You can see the power lines drooped there, transformer layering on the ground. It actually, when these trees fell over, it pulled the wires down here, and you'll see a photo here shortly where our light to the park is leaning against the restroom, because it kind of broke it off as well. A couple more big trees here by the basketball court. Here you see them working on the trees, cutting them off the power line. Here's the light pole that got taken down with the transformer. Sets over the shelter there. This is Lions Park. This is right off of Pine here, next to the tennis court. We were really concerned about all the trees in the park because we had kids playing on the trees here. They thought they were something to crawl under. A lot of them were making little huts and houses from underneath, and it was kind of a little bit of a scary situation resting against some of that off the ground. So we had to move fast to kind of remove some of this stuff. This is what damage that tree did to this tennis court here in the corner. This is the big poplar tree in the center of the park in Lions. You can kind of see the root ball off to the left there. That's a good 3-foot hole in depth for sure. Is that it? Perfect. Anyway, we didn't have time to to really collect all this wood and find a place for it. We were pretty mudded up, so we ended up hauling it off to a pit outside of town, a guy that had a hole out there to fill. So we were still trucking. Now we still got stumps in the park that we got to remove. We'll have to get a track hoe because we can't lift them. We're just out of power. So we'll have to get somebody with a track hoe to come in and pick that rib ball up so we can patch those holes and get rid of those in the park. So we're still working on that end of the stick. There's a few holes in the sidewalk that got to be patched. Over here at Pioneer, we've got some that's got to be patched. As soon as we get all that done, the root's gone, we'll be able to put all that back together and make it look nice and pretty again. May not have a big tree like it was right there, but we'll have a sidewalk and landscaping. So the next item I got on the agenda is the pool repair. We had water issues where we were having a hard time holding water in the pool last year. This last season, early season, we had some people come in and seal the pool, basically the walls, the seams on it, and we were able to hold our water a lot better, but the seams weren't done properly. They were done with the old technique. The pool was put together with the old technique. The people that are in there right now work for Mirtha Pools. They're a subcontractor for them. They do probably 20, 25 of these pools a year across the nation. They're a nationwide company. they've been in the pool right now consistently probably the last 7 days. The only thing that's holding them up is either darkness or they've been rained out. And today's note on that pool is that it's got when it was assembled or when it was first put together, it wasn't put together properly. So they're telling me that this is going to seal up, but to seal it 100% waterproof, to hold water, you'd have to demo the pool and redo it. But that's not the case at this point. They're going to be able to do all they can do, but they won't be able to get everything without taking it clear down. So they're sealing up the walls. They're running into the scum gutters and sealing up the seams in there. If you drive by, you'll see some of the tiles taken off, and they've had to remove the tile to get to the seam that runs up and over and underneath the tile and into the scum gutters. There's a lot of pieces of the liner that actually have bubbles on them, and they say that it wasn't tucked properly, but it's got, they like to see about a 2-inch seam when they weld the seam, and some of the places only got about a 1/2 inch, which is not kosher. So right now they're sealing the walls. They haven't gotten to the bottom liner yet. They figure it's going to take them about 10 days. They might be a little bit longer than what they think. You'll see some of the tile that's taken off, but they'll be back in the spring to put down the new tile and grout it back in. They're finding out that some of the tile that's been put on hasn't got enough adhesive to stick it. They've allowed it to seat just to maybe set up just a little bit, and then they put the tile on, but it didn't take. So some of them come off really, really easy. Some are pretty hard to come off. So it's a give and a take. But right now, they feel that they'll seal the majority of everything up here with what they've got from the factory and be back in the spring to put the tile and the grout back on around the top of the pool. So any questions?
Yeah, one. On all this damage that we've got from the trees and whatnot, is part of that be covered through our insurance?
I don't know. I have to check on that.
I'm just kind of curious how that affects her. Is that an act of God, or how do they figure that out? You know, I can see where we got damage where it affects something else, like some of those fences or buildings, and whatnot. But the actual intent of the tree falling over or whatnot, I don't know whether there's any replacement for something like that or not. So something we need to probably check in on and be sure that we got some kind of coverage on that. This other's all under warranty as far as pool.
Yeah, this
concerned.
Is all, the pools is no cost to the city. This is being done by the factory. So there won't be any cost to the city. $0 cost is what I'm getting from the North American rep for Mirtha Pools.
Make sure you tell the guys from the council, and lady I should say, the crew, thank you for their hard work. So I know they started 8 o'clock Sunday? Something like that started, 8 o'clock Sunday or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, we started at, I called them out right around 7:30, and we worked clear through that night, clear through the next day till that next evening. I sent guys home that were too tired to keep the safety stuff at ease, but most of them were pretty dedicated to making sure everybody was safe and the roads were open, and we blocked off for the police department and the utilities so that we could make sure everybody was safe, but yeah. Yeah, they worked pretty hard at it. So
I went around with Terry and looked at everything to see what had happened and stuff like that. And, I mean, the crews are out there working hard. Even the gentlemen from the prison that come and help were in there hauling and pulling and throwing stuff to the side. And I wrote two letters on behalf of the city to Washington Water Power, no, sorry, Vista, and Big Bend, that's what it was, yeah. Thanking them for all their work because they pulled a lot of crews into our area to help us and make sure we got done. Got power back on as quickly as they could, so you know, acknowledging their.
I think we had about 12 crews in here.
Yeah, they had a lot of equipment here up on Main Street. They at lunchtime and dinner they were eating up on Main Street. The Vista was, yeah, and there was huge trucks parked there with the telephone poles on and everything. So they were, you know, everybody really responded quickly and got in here. That was a big effort, much appreciated. So, you know, power back on. Anything else, Terry?
No, that should be it.
Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Okay, unfinished business. Update from city attorney on marijuana.
It's my night.
Yes, you're on.
Adult entertainment and marijuana. There's a map that the city planner has put together to give you a starting point for going forward in your discussions about regulating both recreational and medical marijuana. Everything within the blue-purple line is restricted by the 1,000-foot buffer under state law as regards recreational marijuana. Assuming that you would approach the medical marijuana with the same type of buffers, and the reason that I make that assumption is because the state legislature, when they readdress the medical marijuana issue this next session, will have back before a bill that was introduced late last session that attempts to equalize the medical marijuana regulations with the recreational marijuana. So I'm anticipating that they will adopt the same buffer distance of 1,000 feet. So for discussion purposes, I think it's fair to start from the premise that if you are going to look at regulating both of them, you would be looking at the same 1,000-foot buffer, in which case everything within that purple line would be by out of necessity from that buffer, would be off limits for any of the medical marijuana uses and the recreational marijuana uses. That does leave you, however, quite a lot of land outside that line which could be available for the location of those uses should you choose to allow it in your industrial or commercial zones. It's probably a little harder to see on that map, but you have quite a lot of industrial and commercial land available, particularly your industrial, and a few spots of some residential. Now, we would be restricting any location of those uses in your residential zones altogether. So really what you're looking at outside that purple line are your available industrial and commercial zone locations. So you need to start thinking in terms of whether or not you want to allow it in all of your industrial zones and all of your commercial zones, or whether you want to select some of your industrial and some of your commercial zones. If you'll recall, the three recreational marijuana uses, the only one that would fall under your commercial zone logistically would be the retail sales. The production and processing would probably be best suited for your industrial areas. Your medical marijuana is basically a all-in-one use in terms of they're going to grow it, they're going to do whatever processing and delivery from the same location. They won't have it broken down into three separate businesses. And the state's not, if they do, if the legislature does adopt some regulations, it's not anticipated that they're going to break that use down into three separate steps. all processed out of the same location. Are you following that? So you're going to have a little different analysis with the medical marijuana, because if you choose to locate it in your commercial zones, or you wanted to allow it in your commercial zones, you're basically dealing with an agricultural production in your commercial zone. And is that something that's compatible with your commercial zone and what you presently allow, or is that a more appropriate use for your industrial district? Most jurisdictions that have adopted permanent regulations for medical marijuana that regulate it have selected their industrial zones rather than commercial for the production of medical marijuana. So I think this is a good starting point for your discussions. The state has not made any significant changes since we last talked about it. The draft rules were out there for public comment. They did receive some additional public comment that prompted a few changes. The most significant change was the State Liquor Control Board adopted an emergency rule to change the definition of the 1,000-foot buffer in terms of how you measure it back to the as a crow flies standard, which actually is more beneficial to us. It is a broader scope and much more user-friendly for our planners to map. So that's where we're back to. So they anticipate having the next public hearing October 9th and finalizing their rules and making the application for licenses opening in the middle of November, with licenses to be issued the 1st of December.
So if we're moving forward on how, on the commercial zones or industrial, you know, Daryl's pretty up on this, trying to have somebody lead on this, I guess, is the question.
Well, if the council's direction is still to start crafting an ordinance to bring back before you that deals both with the recreational and medical marijuana issues together, to insert some regulation in your code, then I think the next step is for Daryl and I to provide some draft documents at your next meeting for you to start reviewing in earnest and having some substantive conversation about in terms of exactly what that regulation is going to look like for Othello.
Yeah, because I think we'd want it ready by November.
By the 1st of December, certainly.
Yeah.
You would want
so
it.
So we don't get
yeah.
caught off guard by somebody. Daryl can get together and see what we can do here. Anything else, Kathy, on that?
Nope.
Okay, thank you. New business, department heads report is in there. Nacelle, that's the only one in there this week. And then mayor's announcements. Of course, everybody knows starting this week, we're starting the budget process. Wednesday the 25th is the contract budget committee. We'll be meeting at noon at City Hall in room 3. That's Johnson, Kaler, and Darrell. Ken, you're not going to make it?
No.
Is there somebody that'd like to step in for Ken, or? No? Okay.
Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
No, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
No? Okay. Okay, Thursday, 26th, the beautification committee will be meeting at noon at the Senior Center. Thursday the 26th, Guama will be meeting at 6 p.m. here in the council chambers, so anybody's interested in that meeting?
I'll be there.
You'll be there, Ken? Okay. Friday the 27th, the General Government Budget Committee will be meeting at noon at City Hall in room 3. That's Johnson, Kaler, and Garcia. Everybody on there? Correct?
Yep.
Okay. And of course, next Wednesday is October 2nd. The Street Fund Budget Committee will be meeting at noon at City Hall in room 3, and that's Kaler, Darrell, and Deaver. Is everybody on for that one still? And next Thursday, October 3rd, the Sewer Water Budget Committee will be meeting at noon at City Hall. Darrell, Deaver, and Kaler, which I'll be at all these meetings with you. So, and the next Thursday, October 3rd, is the Solid Waste Budget Committee meeting at 6 p.m., and that's Bain, Snyder, and Kaler. I wanted to bring something up on that one. There is a this is paid. Hang on here. Got a couple.
October 16th or something like that.
On the 3rd, there is a meeting. AWC is coming with a regional meeting in Richland the same day as the 3rd. at Red Lion. The meeting starts at 6 and promptly ends at 8, and it includes dinner. I was hoping to encourage council to go to this. They're having a discussion about what's happening in our region. You'll also have the opportunity to hear from Mike McCarty, AWC CEO and AWC legislative staff, about recently enacted legislation. So I guess my question was, were we willing to move that meeting to a different time? Unfortunately, only Kayler's here. We'd still do an evening, but just move it to another day so that we could go to that, because I'd sure love to be able to learn, go to that and learn some more about that. I think there's also some credits that you get for going to that one. Two or three, I read something, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there's a couple credits, so. Ken, you're the only one here, so. If you don't want to change it, I guess we'll stick with it is, and we'll all be here, so.
I'd kind of like to go to that meeting down there, but kind of depends on the other two.
Well, I guess we can contact them and see if we can't figure something out then and move it forward from there, because I would like to hear what's going on in the state and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll work on that and see what comes up out of it. Also, which is not on the mayor's announcements, is PAID, which is People Against Illegal Drugs, have asked that we have a representative from the council to bring the city perspective to the PAID meetings. They meet the second Wednesday of the month at noon at Timeout Pizza. Edie's here if there's any questions about what that is, but they're looking for a council member, somebody that could, you know, speak on behalf of the city and report back to us. Is there any council members that would like to do that? Wednesday of each month at noon.
I could do that. Yeah. I originally had a conversation with Edie during the fair this year and learned some of the perspective of PAID and some of their concerns with the Initiative 502 and some concerns that they have, and they would like to get very involved with it. And since we need to keep them updated with things too, I will continue to do that.
Edie, there's your man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else that I'm not aware of?
I've got one other one. Okay. The Senate Transportation has been conducting meetings across the state. They had 10 meetings set up, and they've got 4 in Eastern Washington that will be happening over the next week and a half. They got one in the Tri-Cities on the 26th, and they want to hear from cities. They don't want to hear from lobbyists or other legislators. They want to hear from cities. They want to hear cities' concerns with transportation. They want to hear different projects, different ideals from the cities at this meeting. And I plan to attend the one on the 26th in Tri-Cities. It's from 6 to 9. I guess they've been very well attended. They've had up to over 400 people at some of the meetings over on the west side. And I know they're just limiting a couple minutes for each. They would like one representative from each city to speak. The 26th in the Tri-Cities, Columbia Basin College. Thursday night. They do have another one tomorrow in Yakima also.
Anything else from council? Catherine? Nope. Okay. All right, then this meeting's adjourned. Thank you everybody for coming.